I Eat Green with Bhavani, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'll be with you for the next hour talking about what's going on in the New York area, what's going on nationally, what's going on in the garden, and then inviting a guest on that I have today, Clay Dunn from Share Our Strength, which is a national nonprofit out of Washington, D.C. And I'll talk to you more about Clay's work in just a little bit. But first, I just want to say welcome to another beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. There's so much going on out in the garden, just more of the same, but, you know, the harvest is really happening now. I have more tomatoes than I know what to do with, more Mizuna greens, Swiss chard. All the greens are coming in really strong, the kale, the collards, the lettuce. I actually have a new crop of lettuce coming. We're just about finishing up my last lettuce that has not bolted yet. I'm still struggling about my peach tree. So let me ask all of my listeners out there, if any of you know how to deal with a borer in a peach tree organically, I'd really welcome that information. You can either call in to the studio toll-free, 877-627-5068. Actually, that's a new number. The old number is 888-874-4888. try both of them. I'm not sure which is working. I hope both of them. Anyway, so I'm struggling with my peach tree. For those of you that have been listening regularly, you know that I put a biodynamic tree paste on early spring, which was a combination of diatomaceous earth, cow manure, and clay. And I scrubbed the bark and I painted the whole tree limbs with this mixture. And I really thought I got it, you know, and the tree was just looking so pretty and healthy. And the leaves are still shiny, but I can tell now the leaves are starting to curl in a little bit. And there is like this clear sap oozing from the bark all over the tree limbs, and I just don't know what to do about it. And I love this tree, and I love the peaches even more. So if anyone has any suggestions for me, I have not had any success yet with the different things I've been trying. So I welcome that. So I have a recipe to share with you, of course, as well, which is a penne with pesto, broccoli, and cherry tomatoes. I know I've given you guys my pesto recipe before, but I'm constantly, you know, this time of year, finding new ways of using the pesto, so I want to share that with you. And there's also a lot of things going on. As a matter of fact, after the radio show today, I'm heading down to D.C. Many of you who listened a few weeks ago, I had Bill McKibben on, and he talked about civil disobedience protest that is going on down in Washington for 2 weeks. It started August 20th, and it goes to September 2nd for 2 weeks, and it is to protest the Keystone Pipeline that is coming from the tar sands in Alberta, Canada, down to the Gulf of Mexico. And it is really a devastating project for the environment. And so as an environmentalist and as someone who really wants to just take some action, I decided to join this act of civil disobedience. So I'm going down tomorrow night. I have a training. Friday will be the day of protest, and then you also have to allow an extra day in the case that you get arrested. So that's what I'm doing for the next couple days. I hope I might meet some of you down there. I know Bill McKibben will be down there. He was already arrested the first day. I don't know if he's been arrested again since I spoke with them last. But it's really wonderful that there's over 2,000 volunteers that have signed up to participate in this civil disobedience. And it just feels, I'm very excited to just feel like I'm doing something, because I know I certainly complain enough, and I know I do a lot, but We all need to, you know, get off of our come out of our comfort zone and participate in some of these things. So whether it's this or something else, I really encourage all of you to get out there and participate, because God knows the people who are in the Tea Party, they're getting out there and they're doing things, and we need to counter that. So we really need all of the people that care about people and the environment to really get involved in organizations that model their philosophies and participate in trying to make a change, because that's the only thing that's really going to turn things around. So I want to share with you that I'm having my first farm-to-table cooking class next Thursday, September 1st. We will have an opportunity to harvest some of the vegetables I've been telling you about in my garden, and then we will go into the kitchen, cook up a gourmet vegetarian meal. Mostly everything will be vegan. There might be some goat cheese to add into the salad for those that might like it, but everything will be plant-based and delicious. And then we'll sit outside under the stars and eat a gourmet meal together. So I hope some of you can join me for that. You can send me an email at bhavani@iegreen.com. If you'd like to register, I'd send you a registration form. Also, Oh My Girls, which is a after-school program that is opening up for girls between the ages of 8 and 18, is having preview week next week. So I'll be doing a cooking class there. And then starting the week of September 12th, there will be after-school cooking programs every day. So if you have a young girl in those ages between the age of 8 and 18, check out Oh My Girls online. There's a whole slew of classes. They, in addition to the cooking classes, they also have exercise classes, chat rooms, so there's a lot going on there. On September 16th, Long Island Cares, which is Harry Chapin's nonprofit organization on Long Island, is having a conference at the Sheraton Hotel in Huntington. I'll be speaking there, running one of the workshops. On September 18th, Slow Food Huntington is joining Slow Food USA for a day of action, and there's a $5 challenge going on, and we are challenging the value meal. As you know, most fast food restaurants have some value meal that you can purchase for $3 or under, so we are challenging that, and we are going to show you that you can cook a healthy, plant-based, delicious meal for $3 per person. We're going to charge $5 per person, and, you know, it's a $2 per person fundraiser for our chapter, Slow Food Huntington. But come join us. That's Slow Food Huntington. If you go to Slow Food USA, you can register for the event online. And then September 24th and 25th, 350.org is having a day of motion, or Planet in Motion. It's a day where they are challenging people to try to leave their cars and get around on bikes and walking, and we're going to have a potluck, although we're going to have ours on September 25th, hopefully at Crossroads Farm in Malvern. It's not 100% sure whether that's where the location will be or not, but stay tuned. Slow Food Huntington finally has our website up and running, so you can check it out on slowfoodhuntington.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. So we will be having an event there. And then also September 21st, Just Food is having their big major fundraiser. I'll be there as well. It's called Let Us Eat Local, and it's at the Altman Building in Manhattan. It is a huge fundraiser with all of the chefs from the top New York restaurants cooking up local seasonal food, and it should be a really, really great time. So if you can make it, go to the Just Food website or Google Let Us Eat Local and buy some tickets. And lastly, I just want to let you know that starting September 24th, for 4 days, there's going to be a Long Island Fair, which is an agricultural fair celebrating the history of agriculture on Long Island. and there will be lots of events going on at the fair. Good time for all, so I hope many of you can find out about that. It is taking place at the Old Bethpage Village, where Restoration Farm also has a wonderful organic farm there, and they will be having a farmer's market as well. So lots of stuff going on. Really an exciting time. So anyway, let me share my recipe with you so I can invite Clay on and tell you more about the work he's doing with Share Our Strength. So this recipe is a penne with pesto, broccoli, and cherry tomatoes. And you want to start with a package of pasta. You can use whole wheat penne. If you're on a gluten-free diet, great penne out there made with rice flour, so brown rice flour. I use the Lundberg penne, and it's delicious. So it's a brown rice pasta penne that is gluten-free. You're going to make a batch of pesto, and I've given that recipe before. You can find it on the website for the Progressive Radio Network. But basically, let's see if I can do it by memory, because I didn't attach the pesto recipe here, but I usually do 4 cups of basil to 1 cup of olive oil, 3/4 cups of Parmesan cheese, 8 cloves of garlic. And so you're going to pulse the basil in a food processor. Then you add the garlic, the pine nuts. You need 3/4 cups of pine nuts, and pulse that really well. Then add, drizzle in the olive oil, and it will start, you know, thickening up, similar to how you make mayonnaise. And then add Parmesan cheese if you'd like. The Parmesan cheese is optional. If you are vegan, you don't want to put the Parmesan cheese in, just add a little bit more salt, and it tastes really great even without the Parmesan cheese. If you don't want to spend the money for pine nuts, because they're really outrageously expensive right now, you can do this recipe also with walnuts, and that will be good. Okay, so then you're also going to have an extra 1/4 cup of fresh grated Parmesan cheese, 1 bunch of broccoli. Now, my broccoli from my garden, I've already picked the heads off, so now I'm just getting these delicate, tender shoots of broccoli that are just so delicious. So you want a bunch worth of broccoli. 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of white wine, 4 to 8 cloves of garlic, depending on how much you like garlic, 1 pint of assorted cherry tomatoes. And also in my garden, I have beautiful yellow ones, orange ones, red ones, and they're so pretty when you mix them all together. You want salt and pepper to taste, 1 pound of fresh mozzarella cut into bite-sized squares, 10 or more sun-dried tomatoes that you're going to cut into strips, 1/4 cup of toasted pine nuts for garnish, and 2 tablespoons of fresh parsley. So you'll cook the pasta according to the directions, and just keep tasting it. You want to make sure it's al dente. You don't want it to be too mushy. You know, just a little bit hard in the middle is good. And then you can run it under cold water just to stop the cooking, and then drain it. Meanwhile, in a sauté pan, you're going to cook up the broccoli in 2 tablespoons of olive oil for 5 minutes. Then you can add the chopped garlic and sauté for a few more minutes, regulating the heat, making sure you don't burn the garlic. Afterwards, you can add 2 tablespoons of white wine. And just so you know, I don't always measure things exactly, so you don't have to. You can really just take the bottle and just go boop, 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 and, you know, that much wine. So just, you know, not too much, you know. The measurements here are really flexible according to what you like. So you will become familiar with it as you start doing this more and find out what you like. So if you like a little more wine, a little more liquid, you can do that. If the broccoli seems too dry, you can add a little more olive oil. You can use some vegetable broth so that you don't use too much oil if you'd like, and that's really great too. So then you're going to cook that up until most of the wine is absorbed. And you remove it from the pan and just put it into a bowl. Let it cool. You wipe out the pan, add 2 more tablespoons of olive oil, and then you're going to add the cherry tomatoes. And I cook the cherry tomatoes separately just so that I don't overcook them, and also so I can cook them with the garlic, with 2 more cloves of garlic, so it really gets that garlic flavor. And add the remaining white wine. Cook for a few more minutes. remove it from the heat and let cool. And then you're going to combine everything together into the pasta bowl. You're going to add a cup of pesto from the pesto that you made. You're going to add the sun-dried tomatoes and the fresh mozzarella. And again, if you are on a vegan diet, you can easily leave the fresh mozzarella out. You can leave out the extra Parmesan cheese and just compensate with a little extra salt. Put in a little bit more sun-dried tomatoes. You can also add more vegetables if you have a lot of zucchini in your garden. Today I actually put some fresh summer squash in there as well. And then you can't go wrong by also chopping up some extra parsley and putting that in. It's always really great. So that's it. You know, pesto is just a wonderful thing to have on hand. So the leftover pesto, just keep in the refrigerator. And you can make hors d'oeuvres, you know, on baguettes. You just smear it with a little bit of pesto, some sun-dried tomatoes, some olives. And that's great just like that. If you'd like to put fresh mozzarella on it or goat's cheese, all the better. There's so much you can do. So anyway, it's really nice to just have pesto in the refrigerator to put on your sandwiches and just use it. It's a wonderful thing to do in the summer. Okay, so now I'd like to invite on Clay Dunn. He is the online community director at Share Our Strength, which is a national nonprofit that connects children with nutritious food that they need to lead a healthy, active life. They run a campaign called No Kid Hungry, and Share Our Strength is committed to ending childhood hunger in America by the year 2015. Clay is also overseeing the organization's websites, social media, and digital partnerships. Before joining Share Our Strength, Clay held positions with National Geographic Channel, a digital consulting firm, and electoral campaign with the city of New York. So, Clay, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to I Eat Green with Bhavani. We're really happy.
Thank you so much.
Sure. We're happy to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. So why don't you tell us a little bit more before we get started about Share Our Strength, because I know I just really, you know, gave a very brief description of what you do.
Definitely.
Tell us what Share Our Strength is about.
Share Our Strength was founded 25 years ago, actually in response to the famine in Ethiopia. And over time, the mission of the organization has changed and started to focus on childhood hunger here in the U.S. It's a problem that sort of happening all around us, and it's a problem that we like to refer to here in the organization as big enough to matter but small enough to win. It's one that we think is truly solvable, and that through some hard work and some smart strategies, we'll be able to eradicate. And so that's really the focus of the organization and in everything that it's doing.
Mm-hmm. However, wouldn't you say that childhood hunger right now is at a peak? I mean, it seems to me the statistics that I've seen, there's more hunger amongst children and women now than there was 5 years ago. Is that true?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the USDA would also agree. They're sort of the keepers of the official numbers. And, you know, they say that there are 17 million hungry children in the U.S. Or, I'm sorry, they
17 million?
17 million, not at all times, but that this year 17 million children will be in a situation where they don't know where their next meal is coming from. That's one in four kids in the U.S. They refer to it as food insecurity, but we all know it more commonly as hunger.
Wow. One in four children. That just seems unbelievable. And I know in the summer it's extremely challenging because so many kids depend on school lunches.
Yeah, definitely. The you know, enrollment in the free and reduced price school lunch program is very high, and you know, and sort of a lesser number of kids are enrolled in a free or reduced price breakfast program during the school year, but still a very significant number. So when the when school lets out for the year, many kids who are getting their primary nutrition at school suddenly find themselves with uncertainty around where their next meal is coming from. And, you know, the drop-off between how many kids are enrolled in the Free and Reduced Price Lunch program versus the summer program is extreme. So that's been a huge focus of ours over this past summer in communities across the country, is making sure that kids and families are aware of meal programs in their own communities.
What kind of meal programs are there that you're aware of?
Yeah, definitely. So if we're talking about summer meals, the summer meals program, generally you find these in communities, and they're taking place either at a church who's administrating them, a community center, a Boys and Girls Club. Sometimes they're associated with food banks. But the, and one reason that we believe that the problem is solvable is that the money is available to pay for these meals. It's already apportioned from the federal government, and but many communities don't know how to access those funds, and they're sort of leaving dollars on the table in terms of that they could be bringing in their communities to help feed kids. So the summer meals program is a great example. You know, you can get in any state certified as an official summer meal site, which means that the cost of the meals, you know, within a certain limit, are paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good example of a summer summer program. Is, you know, a community organization that usually not only serving lunch, they may also be serving breakfast, and in between they may be offering some sort of learning activities or tutoring as well. It really varies. I got to visit some programs in Arkansas earlier this year, and you know, it was a great mix of activities and food, and giving kids a place to go in the middle of the summer day that otherwise might be at home by themselves.
Now, is Share Our Strength a resource then for people who are looking to find a program in their community? Do they do that? Can they do that through Share Our Strength?
Yeah.
Or
so what Share Our Strength is doing is a few things. One, we're raising a lot of money that gets put into our No Kid Hungry campaign, where they're engaging in states and specific cities around this issue. So in a city or a state, we are serving as the convener of the nonprofits there, the government agencies, and then the business interests who want to see movement on this issue. And so we have a campaign manager in each of our, there are 14 of them now, and there will be 19 by the end of this year. Where the campaign manager is really the person leading the charge in terms of the issue, because the barriers that are keeping kids from food are different community to community. Like in some places it's a rural issue, in others it's much more an awareness issue or a transportation issue. And so, you know, within these communities, we're helping to not only fund organizations that are doing great work, but also to help get the word out through any number of methods, but things like canvassing days or bus ads or you know, community focused calling to make sure that people are aware of where the closest meal site is for them.
That's great, because it's so important. I always worry in the summer for kids that don't know, you know, if they depend on their parents, and very
Definitely.
Often kids are hungry because their parents are not so active as parents.
And, you know, it's something we hear, too, from teachers a lot. We do a lot of work with teachers, and we have, for the past 2 years, surveyed teachers about what they're seeing in their classrooms in terms of hunger, because the, you know, a kid that's well fed and a kid that is able to learn are so closely connected. And you know, teachers say the same thing, in that every year that they worry about kids that they know are getting their primary nutrition at school, and what will happen to them during the summer.
Right. So you know, for these kids that are depending on school lunch programs for their nutrition, you know, one thing that I'm sure you're aware of, because a lot of the work that I do, is that the school lunch programs are not so nutritiously packed.
Right.
So
yes.
What does Share Our Strength do to try to help improve the school lunch program? Are you involved with that at all?
We are not directly involved in that. We definitely have a cooking and nutrition program called Cooking Matters that is not focused on school meals, but it's focused on educating families and children about how to shop and eat healthy on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hands-on, small classrooms with instructors. You're cooking meals, introducing people to new ingredients. Some classes are just kids, some are just parents, and some are parents with their kids. It's a fantastic program that we're seeing great results from. But in terms of the discussion about school lunch, we're not weighed into that discussion as much because our focus is so much on making sure that more schools are offering breakfast to kids who are eligible for it, after school meals and then meals during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Because as much as we're talking about the school lunch program, there's been studies done that actually show kids that depend on school lunch programs for their nutrition are more likely to have an obesity problem than kids that are getting their meals at home.
Yes.
And I think part of the reason, I know so much of the reason is because of the high sugar content in so much of the food that's coming from the school. You know, like if you're giving them a breakfast that's Fruit Loops, you know, that's certainly not going to really help their nutrition.
Right, right. I'm a huge fan of Chef Ann Cooper. I don't know if you read her online.
Of course, uh-huh.
You know, I follow along with her very closely and in her discussion of the issue, and because it is very related to what we're doing, but we're not actively engaged in the conversation.
Uh-huh. So how does Share Our Strength explain how, you know, us being one of the richest nations in the world, although who knows if we are right now, how is it that we have so many hungry children?
Yeah, I think that there is some explaining to be done with people because we, I think as a nation, think of hunger as being an issue that doesn't exist here as much. That we know that people are living in poverty, but I think that we don't have as much of an understanding of how much some families struggle. And when we're thinking about hunger, we're thinking of, you know, the hunger that we see in Africa on television or something. So I think that there's generally just the issue of awareness and making sure that people are aware of the issue and, you know, how many kids are threatened by this issue every year. But also in terms of sort of explaining that disparity, I mean, we very much believe that, you know, kids aren't hungry in this country because we don't have enough food, and that's obviously not the case. We have lots and lots of food, but they are hungry because they lack access to that food, and whether it's that their parents aren't aware of programs that their kids can be enrolled in, or that their schools aren't aware of programs that can benefit their students, that everything that we're doing is focused on closing that access gap. So in some communities, maybe it's in the summer that the nonprofit that's administrating the meals program can't transport the kids. They lack transportation, so we're giving them money so that they can get the transportation because the government will pay for the food. But in other, in other places, it's a school district who has a one set of notions about what it means to administer a breakfast program and why they're not doing it, but bringing some best practices to them and sort of educating them about how it can be done quite easily so that kids are fed before the school day begins.
Mm-hmm. What programs is Share Our Strength mostly involved in right now? I know there's the No Kid Hungry campaign. Is that?
Yeah. So No Kid Hungry is our public-facing campaign. It's the, sort of rallying call for all the things that our organization is doing, because we have some fundraising programs that have been around for a long time, like the Taste of the Nation, which are sort of big culinary events in communities that have raised a lot of money, or like the Great American Bake Sale, which is a more grassroots fundraising effort where kids and families and adults and anyone who's interested can throw a bake sale and help raise money for this issue, which has been very powerful. But then there's the policy and the on-the-ground side of the No Kid Hungry campaign as well. You know, those fundraising things are going to pay for this work, but that work is happening in communities where we've been quickly, we're coming to the end of the first year of our No Kid Hungry campaign, and we have had sort of rapid expansion into communities and into states, sort of our initial states, where Maryland, because the governor there was the first governor in the U.S. to say that he is committed to ending childhood hunger in his state. We've expanded into other states like Colorado and Florida and Arkansas and many others. But then there are also city-based campaigns where we don't yet have a state campaign. So Los Angeles and New York City are two examples of that, where we have engaged No Kid Hungry campaigns on the ground and hope to expand those statewide.
Yeah, well, there are certainly areas that really need it.
Yeah.
So, Clay, we're going to need to take a break for just a couple of minutes, but I want to invite anybody who has any questions for Clay or about Share Our Strength to call in. The new call-in number here is 877-627-5065. So if you have any questions for Clay, we'll be back in just a few minutes. So hold tight, and we'll speak to you in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to I Eat Green with Bhavani on the Progressive Radio Network. And my guest today is Clay Dunn from Share Our Strength, which is a national nonprofit out of Washington, D.C., that is addressing childhood hunger in our country. And yes, would you believe one out of four children in our country, in our rich nation, is hungry? And so there's organizations like Share Our Strength really trying to change that, and I'm really so happy to have Clay on with us. Clay, are you there?
I am. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So actually, the number that I had just given was not the correct one. The one I gave you earlier today was right. 888-874-4888 is the call-in number. Should you have a question for Clay and about Share Our Strength and what they are doing. A question I had, Clay, was what kind of partnerships does Share Our Strength seek out? Because I know there's so many organizations interested in childhood hunger, and I just wonder, does Share Our Strength act like an umbrella organization trying to bring other organizations together, or are you one of the organizations trying to partner as well?
That's a great question. We really believe that in order to solve this issue that everyone needs to share their own strengths and see what they can bring to the table in order to make a difference. And so we look to a wide sort of net of organizations and companies for partnerships, and that may be nonprofits who are, local and on the ground in the communities, and we're working with them much more in a situation where we're granting funds to them, or it could be media companies like the Food Network, for instance, has been a great partner of ours and has for many years promoted our cause and has just been just top notch. And so it could be something like that, or it could be any number of companies. Like we have the support of brands like Williams-Sonoma, for instance, who has products in their stores right now that benefit us. And so, partnerships also happen at the individual level with like bloggers, for instance, who I speak to a lot of, and they want to do things with us, and I find a way to make it work. And so, we really look at it being look at everyone who we reach out to and who comes to us as being a potential partner, and because we just think it's so important to sort of to work on this together.
Mm-hmm. So we actually have a call in from Jason from Washington. So, Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So what's your question?
Well, I know that Jeff Bridges is a spokesperson for the No Kid Hungry campaign, and I'm a big fan, and I was just wondering what it was like working with Jeff.
That's a great question. He has been the spokesperson for the last year for our campaign, and he has been great to work with. He is really passionate about the issue, and 20 years ago started a hunger nonprofit called the End Hunger Network that is still working in California, and it's been a great match of sort of authenticity in terms of him being so invested in the cause and willing to do whatever he can, and it's also you know, so great to have a spokesperson who's willing to do pretty much whatever that we need, and it's been really interesting working with him. Great, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Do you have any fundraisers coming up?
We do, actually. We have sort of ongoing fundraisers that are happening all over the country, and so if you go to our website, which is strength.org, there's a place where you can plug in a zip code, and it will show you upcoming and recent events in your community that you can attend. This fall, there are fewer sort of fundraisers. The spring is our really focused Taste of the Nation season, and with 25 events all over the country. And there are fewer this fall, but there are big events coming up, some in New York, Atlanta, Los Angeles, all over the country, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know when you're looking for partnerships, I know you said you go for nonprofits as well as corporations and individuals. You don't screen them at all, do you? You don't, like, try to pick only ones that have a certain philosophy or...
Right, that's true. I mean, because I'll be really honest with you, because of our issue, there are some categories of companies that we don't partner with on the No Kid Hungry campaign just because they're not kid-friendly kinds of brands.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in general, you know, we're very open to conversations with anyone.
Uh-huh. And with your Cooking Matters program,
yes.
I know you're trying to empower families to serve healthy meals. How do you encourage healthy meals as opposed to the fast food that the majority of so many people are living with and feeding their children with? I know in so many of the food desert areas, one of the problems when we talk about food access is they have access to Happy Meals, but they don't have access to a supermarket.
Yeah.
So how do you address that when you are doing your Cooking Matters program?
Yeah, for sure. So there are two main components to a Cooking Matters curriculum. One is a focus on shopping, and so it's, you know, inside a grocery store, a supermarket, a Walmart, whatever it is, where the individuals are doing their shopping. And it's about how to make healthy choices there in the supermarket and how to make cost-effective choices. I got to go to one of these classes earlier this year with teenagers, and it was very eye-opening to see the instructor talking to them about, you know, or asking them, if you have the choice between buying raw heads of broccoli or broccoli that has been pre-cut, washed, and bagged, you know, here are the prices, what's the best deal for you? And, you know, kind of seeing those moments where it was definitely the first time they've ever thought about there being a difference, and the fact that that there are so many choices that we're confronted with when in the supermarket. I think helping to train people for how to navigate those choices is kind of the first step. I think, too, you know, throughout the Cooking Matters program, we're really focused on teaching people that it is possible to cook and shop and eat healthy on a budget at home, and that we equip them with really specific recipes and that make it attainable not only when they're in the course, but also to take home and to use and sort of incorporate into their repertoire. Sometimes that's introducing people to new foods that they may have not been familiar with, like quinoa, that could be purchased in bulk and really cheap. But also it's a matter of, you know, giving people the skills and a set of recipes that can be flexible for them.
Yeah, I mean, like quinoa is a perfect example. Not only is it inexpensive, well, actually, it's not that inexpensive. It's, you know, I think it's more than rice, but it's high protein and cooks up really fast.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a much better choice than, let's say, couscous. You know, whole wheat couscous is better than white couscous, but, you know, there is, you know, protein in it, and it's very nutritious. So,
yeah. Quinoa is also, you know, it's one of those continually eye-opening moments for people in classes because they never heard of it. And
it's fun to see people try to pronounce what it is when they just see it spelled. It's what it's what looks like Q-U-I-N-O-A, but people go quinoa or quinoa,
right.
You know, and it's really funny.
It is, for sure.
So when you are encouraging people to shop, do you encourage people to shop at farmers markets, and do you participate in any of the, like I know the Fair Food, Oren Hesterman out of Detroit, you know, has the Double Up Your Bucks. I don't know if you're familiar with him, and I know there's many different programs where, you know, you spend this much money in a farmer's market and you get an extra $5, you know, if you're working with a SNAP program, you know, which is the food stamps.
On the local level, our individual campaigns are, if there are markets in their areas who are offering deals like that, like in here in Washington, D.C., like some of the markets do offer a subsidy if you're using your SNAP or food stamp benefits there, but others don't. And so we are making people aware of that option so that they can buy fresh fruits and vegetables there in their own neighborhoods if a market exists there. It's not the thing that national, because there's not sort of a standard for all markets doing it, it's not the sort of thing that we're pushing nationally, but on the local level we are.
Mm-hmm. And just share, that's a good question. I mean, the fact that you're in Washington, does Share Our Strength get involved in policy, or are you working more just at a grassroots level locally?
We're working more at a grassroots level locally. I mean, when things are come up that congressional policy that have to do with the programs that we're advocating.
Like the Farm Bill, for instance, that's coming up. Are you involved in educating people about the Farm Bill and the importance of it and why they need to vote a certain way for it, et cetera?
We expect to be, yes. We're sort of closely watching how the early discussions go about the bill and where we think movement may be, because there are some things in the Farm Bill that we view as being really key to specific communities in this issue, and so we'll be watching very, very closely. And then, you know, depending on how the negotiations are going and all that, we'll sort of determine what stance we take.
Really, as opposed to trying to be one of the spokespeople to try to guide the discussion to go in a certain way to be supportive of your clientele, for instance.
Yeah. We have close ties to people who are working in this policy on the Hill, but we're not an active lobbying organization. You know, we don't have a staff of lobbyists here, and we're part of larger sort of hunger collectives that where all the national hunger organizations or people who touch our issue are sort of getting together to talk about, like, legislation, for instance. And
mm-hmm.
so it's happening. So we're involved, but we're not directly lobbying.
Right. Because one of the issues that I know is coming up, at least within the SNAP issue, is, you know, whether people will be able to buy soft drinks, you know, soda, with their SNAP money. And, you know, as a natural food chef, not only do I think they shouldn't be able to buy soda with their SNAP money, but I also think they shouldn't be able to buy diet soda. And so it makes me crazy that they are trying to make it so that they can't buy regular soda, but it's going to still allow diet soda, because that's going to encourage people then to buy diet soda, when in fact diet soda is worse for your health, I think, than the sugary soda. I mean, they're both bad, but diet soda, one, encourages people to drink more, and you know, it's so filled with chemicals. I mean, it's really, really bad. And so you know, I just was wondering if Share Our Strength is in any type of position to, you know, work on educating their clientele pretty much in some of these issues, and also encouraging them to get out and vote and become involved in not lobbying, but really just advocating for different policies that would improve their communities.
Right, right. The it's sort of an evolving area for our organization, because we haven't traditionally as an organization had a more advocacy type approach to issues locally. It's, you know, that these programs exist and this is what we're you know, what we're focused on in a state or a city, but you know, I think as issues come up that are similar to the ones you described, where we think that we can make a difference, I think we're very closely watching them and would engage when the time makes sense for us to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see like some of the federal programs as being vitally important to kids being able to be fed, and so if those programs appear to be threatened, we'll no doubt be advocating for them.
Mm-hmm. And to share, Strength, do you work with preschool? You know, what happens to kids that are hungry that are not yet in school? How does that get addressed, or does it not get addressed? You know, kids that are in either daycare or just still home with their parents hungry, I guess,
yeah.
Then they're just not even counted in the numbers.
Yes. It's interesting, actually, because you see a lot of daycare centers now being in a position not only to be serving as a meal site. Like when I was in Arkansas, we went to a daycare facility that was ran by this woman who was amazing and had been doing it for many years. However, there were kids who were eligible to be getting free summer meals that she was serving there in her daycare, and she was not receiving any reimbursement for that, which is very selfless on her part, but also difficult for her business. So, like, one, like, making sure that she is able to access the funds to pay for lunch for kids whose parents otherwise wouldn't be able to pay for it there. And two, daycare centers are now also finding themselves in a position to be enrolling, like actually helping to enroll families in SNAP, for instance. So it's like empowering, like this same woman that I'm speaking of, we were talking to her about what she could do in her facility to make sure that the parents had the kids enrolled in the proper programs. And so it becomes much more than just daycare in a situation like that.
Right. And I would think there's a lot of people in that situation that don't know, you know, that don't know. And,
yeah.
You know, what does Share Our Strength do to, like, how do you go about reaching out? You happen to be in Arkansas, so you could tell her personally. But what about all those other daycare centers in Arkansas that don't know? You know, how does the word get out so that they do know?
I think that a few ways. Like, Arkansas is a great example because there's we've made great headway in a very short amount of time in Arkansas, but still we're to a point this year where there are still three counties that didn't have any summer meals programs, and three of 18, I believe. And so, and we added a lot more counties this year, where they were able to start serving meals and otherwise they hadn't. And that happens in a few ways. I mean, it happens by working really closely with the state agency that is in charge of the summer meal sites to on their outreach plans and how once they've created a site, how we can make people aware of it in the neighborhood, and which is essentially a small but focused marketing campaign, for lack of a better word. So our nonprofit partner in Arkansas, they are hosting a series of trainings that are about SNAP and focus towards people who run daycare centers, for instance.
Great.
And where they're clearing up misconceptions about the program, because there's, you know, a lot of misinformation about who's eligible and, you know, what things have to happen in order for you to be eligible. And so clearing up misconceptions, explaining how to get enrolled, and explaining, like, essentially training people how to educate others about it. And so it is very, you know, it is very sort of retail politics. You know,
right, because, I mean, Share Our Strength, you're not funding it. You're more just telling them how to get access to government funds, correct? Or
right,
are you actually funding it?
You're correct. We're not funding the meals. We're funding for some people who are serving the meals, things like transportation or refrigeration or the things that aren't covered by the actual federal meals program, we're helping people in the communities buy. So it's like they need a van so that they can bring these 100 kids in each day from different pickup sites. And so working with them on grants for things like that. But you're correct. We're not paying for the actual meals.
Right.
It's the infrastructure around the meals.
So if some of my listeners are involved in some of these nonprofits, and I know many are, how would they go about accessing some of the support that Share Our Strength has?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would encourage them to visit our website, which is strength.org or nokidhungry.org, and to contact us through the website about the thing that they're interested in doing. We get a lot of emails every day that are routed to the right people, and so if the person is interested in doing some volunteer work with us, we can connect them with that. If the person is interested in just getting involved with the campaign in general, I would suggest that they go to strength.org and take the No Kid Hungry Pledge. It's sort of the entryway for individuals to say that I'm on board with this issue and I want to do what I can to support it. And through that, we sort of engage the online community with things that they can do in their own communities to help make a difference.
Great. Well, for anyone listening out there, I know we're winding up here, coming to the end of our hour, but I really want to encourage you to go to nokidhungry.org or just not Share Our Strength, it's strength.org, is that correct?
Strength.org.
And take that pledge. I know I have, and I will continue to
thank you so much.
Be involved. You know, like I work with a food pantry out here called the River Fund, and I know purchasing a van is, you know, was one of the issues so that they can get involved and, you know, get meals to the right kids who need it. You know, that those are really, really important infrastructures.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That are just not covered. So anyway, Clay, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
It was great to have you. And
it's great to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. And for everybody out there, I will see you next week. I have another wonderful guest planned, and I will be down in Washington again Let's hope I don't get arrested, but if I do, I know I'm getting arrested for a good cause. So maybe I'll see you down on the streets.
Absolutely.
Come visit me in front of the White House.
I will.
Okay, thanks. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Day, everybody, and I'll see you next week. God bless.